Revelation 14. Verse 8. Revelation 14, 8. And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Let's pray. Father, we rejoice that you save. And Lord, we know that you will save and that you will do it to the very end. That the evangelist of the last times, the gospel being proclaimed, that even to the end there will be, we believe, those who are being saved. But Lord, we also rejoice in the fact that the things that are now driving this world in the way that it is going will also be defeated. And Lord, the saints will rejoice in this. We desire, Lord, that you would delay as long as you would to save all that will be saved. And we don't want to give up hope on any of those we pray for and hope that they would be saved. But Lord, we do look to the day when these words, "fallen, fallen," are mentioned as being an actual past event fulfilled. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What goes up must come down. Pretty true. Although we as kids would play with frisbees and they would end up sometimes not coming down. Stuck in a tree, throw a ball up there, sometimes they stay. But generally, gravity and also empires come down. Nations, mighty nations. Our nation is a superpower. The Roman Empire, 1,000 years of dominance, faded as it went toward the end, but from internal decay, they all fall. The Grecian Empire, Assyrian, Persian, Egyptian, the Soviet Union split apart. The British Empire is cut way down from what it used to be. So, in this world, governments, nations, kingdoms, empires go up and then they come down. However, something has never come down that is related. One enterprise has yet to fall and will persist until the coming of the Lord. And it is declared here in verse 8 that it has fallen. The constant of this world is the devil's kingdom. The devil is the god of this world. The central engine of this world system, and why you get so many really weird things, is that the system is driven in evil, and it will not fall until the Lord comes. It's been certain from Eden. Remember when the devil tempted Eve and Adam and Eve sinned? There was a prophecy about Christ coming and stepping on the serpent's head. It's been forever, of course, certain. And the cross and the resurrection, of course, made all the efforts of the devil to keep us from salvation, it rendered all that worthless. But the kingdom of Babylon fell, but this Babylon in Revelation 14 has yet to fall. And Babylon is the name of this spiritual driving force in the world. In the bulletin, I printed a picture. If you saw that, I didn't say anything other than it's the ruins of Babylon. Babylon, if you go there today still, and what you should do is look at this picture and later on look at Isaiah 13. It is rubble. It's never been rebuilt. There are some places around it. There's so much here of just destruction. That's fallen. It is done. But the Babylon here, the spirit of the nations has not gone. This is the first time in Revelation we see the mention of Babylon. It's going to be 6 verses that we see it from now on. It's going to occupy much of the next several chapters. This is because it is the system that is now being dealt with. People are mentioned in Revelation for judgment. Every individual is saved as an individual. We don't tag along with a nation. You can say you're an American, and whatever the Americans do, we're in America. It kind of involves us. We're part of the country. But when it comes to salvation, it's all an individual thing. And every individual must come to the Lord and repent and be saved by Christ. Nations are a different matter of judgment. Nations are oftentimes, as Babylon was, thrown down by God after a certain amount of time in which God uses them for whatever purpose he has for them. Babylon was used to destroy Jerusalem and send them into exile to punish them for their sins. And then Babylon was punished. So God has a purpose in these things. And now, when we turn to Babylon, we're dealing not with nations or people as such, but with the system, with the undercurrent, with what drives these nations. You can see some of it in Daniel, that there's a spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes we don't ever see, where the glory of God and the glory of the devil are contested. The unholy Trinity, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, we've seen in Revelation 13. They're driving this system of evil, and they are visibly running it in the end. The Antichrist comes, the dragon is recognized to be the power of the Antichrist. The false prophet points everybody to the Antichrist. And the whole world falls into the worship of that evil. That system is called Babylon the Great here. So when you see Babylon the Great in verse 8, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. And it will, again, there'll be much mention of it from this point. That is the system. That's the volcano that the lava flows out of. You see lava coming down the slope. The lava didn't start that. The volcano did. Babylon the Great is the volcano. Babylon the Great is the undercurrent, the thing that percolates under the surface, that drives the whole system. And we're building now to the judgment of that system of Babylon. When you go to a movie, what you expect? I expect anyway. You don't always get it, but most of the time you do. I bet 99% of the time you get a favorable ending. The good guy is supposed to win. You got to feel good when you come out, or it's exciting. It may have been tough for a while there, but in the end, something happens good. I mean, even in the Terminator, something happens good. You got a lot of bad things go on, and then it's okay. Well, this is not a movie. This is actually what the Lord says he is working toward. The 7 seals we saw first ended with God's wrath and a final silence. I think that's what that 7th seal means, of completion. 7 trumpets ended with the kingdom of the world becoming the kingdom of our God. Revelation 12 was featured a raging dragon against God, against his people, trying to counter the work of salvation and redemption. 13 was the two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And here and there we saw that the number in the end is that he's just a man, 666. 14 then focuses on the very end. The very last moments before the very last chance. First in this chapter, the glory of the redeemed on Mount Zion is shown. Then the first angel proclaims the gospel to all on earth, commanding that all men fear, glorify, and worship God. That is a command. That is not a mere invitation. The gospel requires us to obey God. The gospel demands that we submit to God. It's not an option. It is a command. And so when we come to our text, we are now clearly revealing what is at stake, because the whole system now is going down, and there is going to be an effect for all those whose hearts and lives are tied to this system. If you are on this boat when it goes down, you don't just sink, you sink into eternity. It's very now important to see this. Well, first of all, the whole thing about Babylon. In the Garden of Eden, the devil received the surrender of the world from Adam and Eve. They were our heads. They were the ones who were they were given the charge of the garden. They were given the commands to obey, and they did not. They refused. They delivered over the kingdom to the devil. It was a stupid, foolish thing to do. We all know that, but this is what happened. So the devil took foothold in the world. In a few chapters in Genesis, the world is completely evil. The world is totally evil in the sixth chapter. The world goes wacko, wicked. Every thought, every action is only evil continually in the world. And the Lord brought a flood to destroy it. So that would be it, right? After the flood, you got Noah, you got eight in the family, and they started over. By the 11th chapter, you got the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, let's look at it, Genesis 11. The Tower of Babel is the forerunner of Babylon. It's in the same area. Those things of rubble you see there, some believe that some of the rubble is still there from the Tower of Babel, which was a long time ago. Some of it a lot from the city. Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. I think that would be an advantage. I think it would be good if I understood the language of everybody on earth. We don't. But you see, that was a good thing. They turned into a bad thing. They may have to be a bad thing. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." That was their plan. When they got off the ark, the command was to fill the earth, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, scatter throughout the earth. But we see that in verse 5, the Lord does not like the city they built as much as they do. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people. They all have the same language, and this is what they begin to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Which means, if the Lord objects to it, that the purpose that they have is evil. They're coming together, joining hands, in an evil endeavor. They are not spreading out. They are not seeking the glory of God. They are seeking to stay together in an evil plan. The Lord says we got to stop it. The Lord does not stop good things. Verse 7, come let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another and one another speak. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. What they were supposed to do, scatter, the Lord made them do by the confusion of languages. So Babel, the Tower of Babel, is the earlier place of Babylon. And the name is similar because they are similar in the same place, and the name is what it is. So all that was wrong there, whatever it was probably idolatry and other things, but they were in opposition to God. They were seeking self-glory. They wanted a city to go to the heavens. The Lord stopped it. So the Tower of Babel, then, was built in the same area as the city of Babylon later inhabited. You can go there today, and you'll see what I put in the bulletin. That is a place that was evil. It was a place where Babylon was a nation that destroyed Jerusalem. So they become Babylon. And then in Daniel, they're the first nation revealed is Babylon. Daniel was in Babylon because Babylon had taken over the city, destroyed it. The first of the beasts was Babylon in Daniel. The beast in Revelation, the first one, you know, the mention, this is Babylon. The whole system has begun with Babylon. And so it's representative of all the world systems. So Babylon here in Revelation 14 is not the city of Babylon in the plains of Shinar. This is the spiritual driving force of all the nations. It's called Babylon. It's a system. Back in Revelation, the system of Babylon is the source of evil in the world. The world is said to not get any better. In the last days, evil times will come. It's because the engine is always running and is always contributing to evil. The devil's kingdom is impure in every way. The devil will never seek the glory of God. The devil will never seek the Lord's moral codes and commands. He will seek the opposite. Just a few things. We'll go ahead a little bit because we've got a ways to get there. Revelation 17, verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. That, another picture of Babylon the Great. It's a conglomeration of all the nations of the earth. The system, the dragon being the power and authority behind the beast. What we do in our society, and we think it's going to work, and some do, is deal with the outworkings of that in some way. We see evil in the world and we try to fix it in some way. We never pursue not the world. The world does not pursue the root of it. The world pursues the branches. But they can't even stop it that way because the branches are the produce of the root. We often hear, we got to get all the guns. We got to get guns out. Guns. Do you know that since 1950, I think it is, 97% of gun mass shootings have been in gun-free zones. You can't have guns there. 97%. So you need to, based on that, you need to get rid of gun-free zones, right? I mean, the attempt for poverty. Are we going to fix poverty? Poverty's not been fixed. That was the 60s that program started. Everything that the world tries is on the surface. And the problem is there's Babylon. And Babylon is going to break out in evil. You can go dry off your sidewalk and get it all dry, no wetness at all, and say, there, it's dry now forever. Until what? The rain. The rain comes, it's going to get wet. You can spruce up things, but until you get to the heart of the matter, redemption, a person doesn't change, and the system will never change. The dragon is the power behind it, and the authority that of the beast. Behind the beast. And the false prophet contributes to the worship of the beast and commands it. And this system is what this Babylon is. And many, many nations come and go. And some nations are better off than others, biblically. Our nation has a foundation in the Bible with some of our founding fathers, at least holding a Judeo-Christian ethic. In Arab countries, you wouldn't have that. So they're going to be worse. They're going to be farther from the truth. Missionaries go into some places. They have a big impact, and it makes a difference. So some nations are really bad. Some nations are not as bad. But all the nations are run by this core evil. There are no righteous nations. If you leave a nation long enough, like ours, look at ours. That if you accepted the gospel in 1950, by 2019, you're a long way from that. That's the course of this nation. That's the course of this world. And it is prevailing to this day. So when we look at chapter 14, verse 8, and we see this, the first time mentioned of Babylon, the first angel, remember, was preaching having the gospel to preach to those who live on earth. And then this angel, fallen is Babylon the Great. This is the very core of it. Remember, the seven churches were fighting for their lives against the world system. This is the world system. Their fight was against spiritual Babylon. Persecution, the martyrs that died, the ostracism and the slander and the lies and the false doctrine, false teachers, false Jews. That was what they were fighting. And it was from this. The mother of all this. And they were told by the Lord to hold on, to persevere, to overcome. Because it was a fight. They were fighting spiritual Babylon. Babylon is called the Great. Babylon the Great. The bigger the better, we're told. Bigger the better doesn't always work, of course. In this case, she is great. Babylon is great in a lot of ways. Not in righteousness, but influence and power, in wickedness. And says there that, verse 18, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. We might have some relatives up where I grew up who several generations ago were known as a moonshiner. You wanted white lightning? Well, there they were, and you could go get it from them. That was what they were known for. Babylon is known as, here, an immoral prostitute who woos the world into a relationship with her. And she makes all the nations drink of her wine. She is a pleasure machine. She is a tantalizing harlot. This is how she is described. She is the mother of harlots. We saw that in chapter 17, verse 5. She's the mother of harlots. In other words, her influence, her intoxicating influence, her offers to the nations of pleasure and power and gain, they've taken. They'll always take. She is the instigator, the inspiration for the abominations in the earth. How do we get so evil? Well, we're born in sin and we have an engine always churning out and encouraging wickedness. This engine will report all the things that it can to discourage a Christian. All the things it can to encourage the wicked. It will seek to rid the population of the Bible. Verses even. That system, who is, as we said, also told in chapter 18 of Revelation, verse 2. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison for every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird." She rots. She is a rotting, immoral shell at the end. She's what happens when you leave food out and don't put it up and it starts growing things. That's her. Her extent, her evil domination, her mass of captives, her power, her influence are great. Now it's easy for us to be discouraged because she is so powerful. And you can raise your children, and then your children have to at some point stand on their own, and they've got to stand against this beast. And a nation can have revival and have some people come to the Lord and there be a change, but then the beast still comes after us. But this is given to us so we can hope in the Lord, so that these churches would hope in the Lord. Because she's always going to be this way. She's never satisfied. She's not satisfied with some. She's not satisfied with most. She has got to have everything. She has got to have everything. The devil is not satisfied with a portion of you. The devil wants every bit of you. And we see that in the way the demands of the world are given. Notice she's portrayed as a harlot. She is the mother of harlots, which means she's a harlot. We have good influences from our mother. My mother kept, stand up straight. You know, I was slouched, stand up. Okay. I heard that a lot. We were given certain ways to behave. A mother of harlots is what kind of a mother? she is producing harlots. She is selling her wares for the nations to imbibe in, to lead them astray. And she is she's the fountain of immorality. It says in our text, who has made all the nations, a complete takeover, everybody. All the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Her immorality is with a passion. She is not someone who just wanders into evil. She's not someone who just lets it happen. She is passionate. The passion of her immorality. The devil's world system is passionate that we conform to it. She is desirous to be as immoral as possible and to inflict as much immorality in the world as she possibly can. She demands total devotion to immorality. Just today, in our day, you can't just allow things. As Christians, we can't just say, well, do what you want to do. I mean, it's up to you, do what you want to do. You can't say that. If someone does something that is immoral, you can't say just, well, that's your choice. You've got to say, and I approve of it. If you don't do that, the world is not happy with you. You can't just say, if you're homosexual, then okay, that's your choice. You do that. I'm not trying to get into that. I'm just saying it's wrong, and we don't say the Bible teaches it, because it doesn't. We're not going to change the church to accept it. But that's not good enough. You got to bake cakes for everybody. You got to like it. You got to approve of it. You got to enjoy it. You've got to be converted in your mind. You've got to be driven from Christ. That's what this woman wants, this Babylon. And the drinking of the wine becomes an addiction, and the world is addicted to evil, and every nation has taken of it. And that's the perverseness that comes from it. This past week, you may have seen this. Union Theological Seminary had a bunch of students who were confessing to plants. Plants about either their appreciation. NBC had a website that you could leave some comments. And they invited people to confess their sins to the planet. And people would leave comments about how they used too many Q-tips. They were addicted to using too many Q-tips. And that was hurting the planet. Well, they were taking a private jet, and they were using more gas. And they were sorry. And on and on. And I'm going, my gosh. We used to hear about people doing this, you know, cutting up a tree and making a god out of it. I mean, what is this? It's total earth worship, Gaiism. Sensuality is the way. This Babylon is looked upon as a sensual, inviting, alluring beast. And the nations all go right up. And that's the way to get people, to feel, like we said in Sunday school, you feel it, you go after it. That's the world's way. If you're banging your head against a tree, the best way to stop the pain is to stop banging your head against the tree. If you say, I'm going to stop as soon as I feel better, it won't work. The world is to go on feelings. That's to please your senses, whatever's most pleasurable. And the spread of immorality then in a fallen world is just immensely rapid. Babylon is fallen. That's what the statement is. Now we'll see more of it. It means at the end, the system goes down. Think of this. We've got things to deal with mosquitoes. We've got things to deal with gnats. I think we've got things to deal with gnats. We've got things to deal with weeds. What is the common denominator in everything we use for those things? They all come back. Suppose you got something and you got rid of all the mosquitoes in the entire world forever. Gnats, gone. Weeds, gone. This is what happens to Babylon. It's declared twice because it's, you know, such a monumental collapse. And so unbelievable to the natural world. And it's not just a nation that falls, it's a system that falls. If you have cancer or somebody has cancer you love, a cure for cancer would hit you the hardest. That would make you rejoice the most. One of the things we see with the fall of Babylon is that Christians rejoice in it. But the world moans it. The world is in mourning because of it. Because if our vote is tied to the world, we are going down. And Christians are going to be fine. That is the point for us. But the system is doomed and will fall. Let's pray. Lord, what people really are asking when things are bad and how can things get better is answered here. It will be better when Babylon falls. It will be better, Lord, when you destroy the engine that drives it all. When evil is not just defeated but taken out of this world and consigned to destruction. And yet, Lord, we note in the text we've not come to here in this study yet that there's great mourning in the world. That could think of nothing worse than that the mother of harlots no longer offer her harlotry to the world. Well, may we as your people be those who always maintain a distance from this system and hold to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymn books again.